Hello, good morning and welcome to this. This is the Azure Remote App Jumpstart. Today, we're going to be taking a look at the core skills that you guys need to make sure that you can build, deploy and manage remote desktops and remote apps using Azure Remote App. It's going to be a pretty cool jumpstart. We've got lots and lots of content coming up. If we just take a very quick look at the agenda for the rest of this course, we're going to start off in a couple of seconds' time. Just thinking about why Azure Remote App is such an important piece of technology. And Brad Anderson, Corporate Vice President, is here to explain to us some of the background around Azure Remote App, why we have built Azure Remote App the way we have, and some of the things that we're seeing in the industry that really are driving the need for Azure Remote App. And then in the next section, we're going to be taking a look at kind of a more technical overview of everything that's inside of Azure Remote App, how we can start putting those building blocks together. In module three, we're going to cover the differences between the hybrid deployment model and the cloud-only deployment model. They both give you a lot of flexibility over what you can do for your deployment. Then we're going to take a look at exactly how you publish the applications out to everybody inside of your organization. We're going to take a look at what the user experience is like and some of the technical things that we've actually done to make the user experience really, really come together and feel as good as it possibly can on every different type of device that we support for your end users. And then we're going to be taking a look at how you maintain and update your entire deployment. And in order for me to get through all of that, you don't just want to hear from myself for that entire section. So I've actually invited Eric Orman from the product team in so that we can really get inside the nuts and bolts of the entire thing. But starting off for this first section, I'd like to introduce Brad. Brad, welcome to the MVA Studios.
First of all, it's great to be here. These trainings are just awesome. It's just fantastic that we can do this. You know, we can really reach out and talk with thousands and thousands of people in just a few minutes. It's wonderful. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, thank you very much for coming in. It's cool. And guys, if you've got any questions, please feel free to start sending them in over the Q&A or over the Twitter, and we'll try and get them answered. Anything that we don't get answered during the course of the Jumpstart, we'll answer a little bit later on a blog post. So don't worry, we'll get all the questions out there just in case we don't see them. They do tend to come in really thick and fast as we're running through. So Brad, what are the changes that are happening in the industry? What are the trends that we're seeing around people's use of remote apps and remote desktops that have really driven the way that we've been thinking about building Azure Remote App?
Yeah, there's a number of things that came into play here as we contemplated building what is now Azure Remote App. You know, first of all, if you take a look at the strategy that Microsoft's been talking about for several years now, you know, we really aspire to take every one of the on-premises products that we've been building for years and deliver them as a service as well as in a connected hybrid model. And so, you know, as we started the Azure Remote App project, it was, you know, 3.5, 4 years ago when we actually first kicked off the project. And we were getting a number of requests coming in from customers saying, listen, we would love to be able to host applications up in Azure rather than going and spending, you know, the dollars and the time to go build our own infrastructure to host, you know, VDI, if you will. And so at the genesis of the project was the request coming in that said, we'd love to just leverage the global footprint of Azure to remote our apps to all of our users across all of their devices, which was very aligned with our strategy of delivering everything that we've done on premises, like remote desktop, also as a service. Okay, so that was really the genesis. But it's been fascinating what we've seen in terms of the business. So let me give you a couple of really interesting data points. As I look at the remote desktop services business, by far, the fastest growing segment inside of the business has been the service provider segment. You know, we've had four consecutive years where that growth is approaching, you know, 50% year-over-year growth. It's been really phenomenal. And we're literally seeing a shift as organizations are saying, rather than going and spending all the dollars to go build out infrastructure for peak usage of application remoting, let's go leverage a service provider or a public cloud to do that in a pay-as-you-go model. And so it significantly decreases the upfront cost. It's a pure pay-as-you-go model, and organizations are really loving this. And so as I look at, for example, the annual number of licenses that get sold for remote desktop services, a huge portion of that now is in a service provider model, and that's what Azure Remote App is also delivering, is that model of no upfront costs, leverage the global footprint of Azure, pay-as-you-go model, and take any of your applications, put them up in the cloud, and then we can remote them down to all your devices.
I think one of the most important things you actually mentioned there was the fact that we can really help support people with the ability to have that kind of peak usage model. Mm-hmm. So that's always been traditionally the most expensive part of building out any remote environment. You've always had to have enough capacity for whatever your peak usage is. You might not be using it for 18 days a year or 18 days a month. It might be completely unused, but towards the end of the month, everybody needs to be logged on.
And you had to build for peak. And so now leveraging the capabilities of Azure Remote App, you know, you've got it up in the cloud, you've got on-premises, you can use both of them. You could use us if you need to for the overdraft. But more and more what we believe and what we see happening in the actual numbers in terms of what customers are purchasing is organizations saying, I would love to move more and more of that just to the cloud so I don't have to build out that infrastructure. And it makes all the sense in the world. Another interesting data point that you may find on this is one of the things that we track really closely is the number of downloads of our remote desktop apps. Mm-hmm. On any given 90-day period, any given quarter, we have more than 1.25 million downloads of the remote apps. We're well up over 13 million downloads of the apps that we've released in October of 2013 that gave us, you know, Mac, iOS, and Android. So we're seeing phenomenal, I mean, really just phenomenal growth in the area. We're seeing phenomenal interest in how we can take and remote organizations' apps down to all their devices. And just touching on that for just a minute more, every company that we meet with has got this long tail of Windows apps that's been built over the last decade. And as more and more mobile devices are coming into organizations, they're saying, hey, my users, maybe they're working on a PC in the day, or maybe they're working at home, or they're working on an iPad for whatever reason. I want to be able to give users access to my LOB, my internal applications, but I don't have the time to rewrite those. Remote desktop services is such a great way to do that because you can take your existing apps, put them up in the cloud, and then remote them down to any device.
Yeah, that long tail is a very interesting thing. I often get involved in conversations where people are saying, how can you make my Macs, my iPads, my whatever work in conjunction with the rest of my environment, which often tends to be a Windows-based environment? So I see that we definitely have lots of folks that really want that. And this is a really good solution for being able to take anything and make it completely cross-platform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the team has done a phenomenal job. You know, one of the things that you know, I'll tell you, I personally have learned, and what a number of us have learned as we've moved more and more of these things to the cloud, is this architecture of building these cloud services gives us this global presence, this unbelievable scale and agility. And so one of the things that we did is we didn't take just the remote desktop services existing code base and say, we're going to go host this up in Azure and call it a cloud service. We literally started over. And so a big part of what our vision here is we went and built a pure cloud service. It's a pure microservices architecture. For the developers out there, you know, if you take a look at what the architecture of these SaaS apps are and that microarchitecture, you have teams that are able to update on a, you know, on an hourly, on a daily basis without having to coordinate across all the different teams. That's how we've built Azure Remote App. So it gives us incredible agility and it gives us incredible scale. And part of what we'll do is that technology, we'll start bringing more and more of that on premises. And so the team that built Azure Remote App is the remote desktop services team. It's one team. And our view here and our architecture and our strategy is to build one set of bits that can be hosted up in the cloud, learn up in the cloud, but then deliver that on premises for you to run on premises as well. And so that, you know, what you'll see us doing here is taking more and more of the architecture and the capabilities we built in the cloud and delivering that through remote desktop services too.
And I think one of the interesting things about that architecture is that it's not just that we've built a completely standalone service with Azure Remote App. We have deep integration with other things that are incredibly important to us. Things like authentication. How do we get people signed into all of this stuff? And I think the link that we have into Azure Active Directory and that level of service is incredibly important. There might be some folks that are watching this that don't know much about Azure Active Directory. So can you just explain kind of what we've done with those two services and that service link?
Yeah, and I think maybe the most important thing for everyone to understand is all of these services that we're building at Microsoft, Azure Active Directory is just a foundational piece of every one of them. And so as organizations are looking, hey, what's Microsoft's strategy? What do I need to do? And what are the things I need to be thinking about as I want to go where Microsoft's investing at? Taking your identities that you've invested in Active Directory for the past 10 or 15 years and stretching those out to the cloud to be able to use them now in a cloud world is core to everything that we're doing. Every single service that we're building that is, you know, that we're selling into the enterprise is foundational built on Azure Active Directory. That's the identity store, the authentication and access solution for every one of our services, whether that's Office 365, Dynamics, all the enterprise mobility suite components, including Azure Active Directory. everything keys off of the user successfully authenticating themselves via Azure Active Directory. And so it is foundational. Now, let me just give you a couple of details on the scale of this, because it's an engineering feat. On any given week, we do on average a little over 5 billion authentications with Azure Active Directory. And so you've got this global footprint that runs inside of the Azure data centers, you know, around the globe. Everything that we're doing, you know, and all of our services key off of that. And so as organizations are putting together what I'm beginning to call now the modern enterprise architecture for enabling mobility, your identity and that Azure Active Directory has got to be a foundational and really the base of it. Now, what we've done is there's a number of different ways that you can take your existing Active Directory accounts and then synchronize those up to the cloud. You can do that through ADFS, you can do that through DirSync. There's a number of ways that you can do that. And over the past couple of years, we've dramatically simplified that. So it's much more simple. You know, it literally is as simple yeah. as a handful of clicks of the mouse. But one thing that's important to understand is the organization is able to control what attributes of the users get synchronized to the cloud. And so for most of our services, we need to have the user identity and just a handful, 4 or 5 attributes. Many organizations will choose to keep the passwords local in AD, mm-hmm. and then Azure Active Directory just, you know, basically redirects the authentication to the local AD. But either way you do it, whether you put your passwords up in the cloud or you keep them in AD, Azure Active Directory now extends your investments in identity out to thousands and thousands of SaaS apps and gives you the ability to be able to use that identity in ways you never have before.
Yeah, it's a great model for doing this. And it brings me to the thought of security, which is probably on most people's minds a lot of the time. Inside of Azure Active Directory and Azure Remote Apps specifically, with the way that we think about that, obviously people are giving us some of their assets. They're giving us some bits of information. What's the advantages of Azure Remote App from maybe a security and a device security point of view?
You know, one of the core reasons why many organizations have used remote desktop services and Citrix over the years has been security, because, you know, rather than having all the data and all the the apps executing locally, they have that hosted with remote desktop services. And that certainly is something we see many organizations tell us they look to Azure Remote App to do. And so in that case, your applications are actually all running in the Azure data centers. And so you actually don't have the content down on the local devices, so there's nothing that you have to wipe. There's no content that's resident on the device long term. And so in the same way that many organizations have used remote desktop services for a security reason or a security posture, Azure Remote App does a wonderful job as well on that. And one of the key things to talk about here in terms of what our strategy is in terms of security is, you know, we believe that everything that we do should be secure at rest, it should be secure in transit. So as we're building out these solutions, we build these out in a way where, you know, we encrypt things on premises before we ever send them up to the cloud. Mm-hmm. They're encrypted in the cloud and the keys stay in your data centers. And so what that allows us to do is, you know, give you access to the great capabilities of this global cloud called Azure. But you can do that, rest assured that your data, your content is secured because it's encrypted and the keys are in your data centers, not even in ours.
I think the security story that we've actually got in place around Azure Remote App is really brilliant, because when you think about what you're actually doing, you're maybe putting your line of business applications up there, mm-hmm. but you don't even necessarily need the data to be living inside of Azure. It can still be in that hybrid deployment model. It can still be on-prem. If you happen to have services that are running inside of Azure already, then actually it can connect to those perfectly well. It's a good model to be able to do both things. When I kind of think about the user experience a little bit and the way that people often talk about that, I think this is one of those things that we've seen kind of industry change around a little bit recently. The idea that actually we don't need to provide access to the full desktop. It's just the app. Mm-hmm. That seems to have become the thing that's the most important.
Well, I would say it's always been the most important. It's really interesting. The acronym of VDI is used in the industry to basically associate with application virtualization and desktop. You know, where when VDI was first, that acronym was first coined, it was about the desktop. It's virtual desktop. You know, so over the years, what we've seen is I'll be meeting with an organization and they'll say like, well, hey, we're going to go VDI. I said, fantastic. Tell me about what you're going to do. And generally what they'll come back with is 80% of the time, they're going to just remote down apps. Mm-hmm. and then maybe 20% the entire desktop. But we're seeing a shift here as well. And in fact, I was talking with Mark Templeton about this from Citrix a couple of days ago. And both of us are seeing the shift where if it was 80-20 a year or two ago of remoting the app versus the desktop, it's like 85-15 now. Mm-hmm. And we see more and more organizations even doing more of the application remoting. And that makes sense. You think about if the user scenario here is I'm going to take the line of business apps that have been built and I'm going to deliver that down to my users' devices, their mobile devices, what they're getting at is the app, not the desktop.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we definitely are seeing that trend. You know, an application remoting and desktop remoting will be around for a long, long time, but the emphasis has always been on the app, you know, in terms of the real usage, and it's even swinging harder towards that right now.
And I think one of the reasons that we've always seen the need to have access to that desktop has been that you've needed to be able to move between applications in a more seamless way. One of the biggest requirements for that was actually so that you could open something that leveraged Office in some way.
Yeah.
And that's something pretty cool that we've built into Azure Remote App, the ability to just go and start and use Office mm-hmm. in the cloud. That's a pretty useful kind of level of investment that we've made there.
Yeah, and I think there's two things that are kind of interesting on this. The first one is we actually have built a really simple trial experience, not even a trial, a demo experience, if you will. And so if you go do a search for Azure Remote App, you know, you're going to authenticate with your Microsoft security account. It's like five clicks of the mouse, and you're actually running Office in the cloud.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what I'll do often when I have organizations in here for an executive briefing is I'll just say, hey, let's take a look at your devices, go do a search for Azure Remote App, you know, click, 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 and they're actually then running Word, Excel, PowerPoint from our data center, for example, in San Jose. Okay. And so the first thing is go take a look at that demo experience if you've not seen it, and you can actually get a feel for just how quick and how performant it is. But one question that many people will ask is, we have these modern apps now, or these remote apps, or I'm sorry, these mobile apps for Office on iOS and on Android. Is there still a use to use remoting capabilities with Office? And there absolutely is. You know, one of the most common scenarios that we see here is organizations that have a bunch of plugins, for example, built to Outlook, mm-hmm. or maybe they've got a bunch of macros and things that are built into Excel that maybe are not supported yet in the mobile apps. And so that, you know, they're using those kinds of capabilities inside of Azure Remote App, inside of remote desktop services, in order to be able to deliver all that value that they've built for their users in Outlook, in Word, in Excel. And then there are some of the apps in the Office suite like Project and Visio that only run on Windows. And so those are fantastic apps to have remoted down to users' devices.
Yeah, it's actually one of those things that I quite often do if I'm talking to IT guys. A lot of us live inside of Visio doing network diagrams, doing all that kind of stuff. And then to just be able to open that up on a tablet, on an iPad, and it just suddenly makes people go, there's a really useful thing that I can do here. Mm-hmm. And when you start using even the kind of the Windows-based Office apps on any other device, they're actually all so well optimized for touch that it's like using a native app device anyway.
And I don't know that everybody quite realizes how significant that is. I mean, these apps weren't built for touch. And so we've had to go do the work that as we've exposed these in the remoting capability, you know, we've done a pretty good job on how that touch experience shows up on these mouse-enabled applications.
Yeah, and that's a particularly interesting thing when you think about mouse-enabled applications on iPads, kind of tricky because iPad doesn't support any mouse-style input, so it actually makes things even more kind of interesting when you start using an app on an iOS device and you find that actually it really is very usable. What kind of organizations are we seeing moving towards Azure Remote App? Is there a particular size of organization that tends to really love Azure Remote App, or is it good for everybody?
Yeah, we are seeing, you know, broad adoption of it. From the smallest organizations who have actually come back and said, hey, you've got this 20 user limit, you know, you have to buy it in kind of 20 user increments. We have organizations come in saying, hey, we need to buy it like in five. And so, you know, we've been experimenting a little bit around with that. So we see a lot of those. We've seen a lot of education. Mm. Education has been a really interesting one that we've seen embracing this in big ways. And it makes a lot of sense. They've got labs and they have students that come in and they'll work in that lab for an hour. Then they may not be back for, you know, a week or a month. It all cycles at the end of 90 days at the end at the end of the semester. And so we've seen a lot of higher education, a lot of universities who are making extensive use of Azure Remote App right now. And that's been one of the kind of interesting dynamics for us to understand. And then many enterprise organizations are also looking at this saying, you know, hey, we as we're moving and kind of lifting and shifting many of our applications into the public cloud, it just makes sense to have our application remoting done there as well. And it's interesting, the way that I really think about Azure Remote App and Remote Desktop Services, to me, it's just another one of the components of mobile application management. And so I think about it in terms of that strategy, because it's just another way to deliver apps down to users. So as I kind of think about how this plays out in the long term, a user needs to be able to take a device, whether it's a Windows, an iOS, or an Android device, identify himself or herself by authenticating to Azure Active Directory, and then have all the applications that they need to get their job done and to be productive just given to them. Mm-hmm. And it needs to be intelligent. And so, you know, a user needs to be able to traverse across different devices, and the system should automatically understand, hey, this is Brad, and Brad is working on today an iPad or this afternoon on a Windows device, and have it automatically adjust for how the application is delivered for me to work. In the case where if I'm on a Windows device and I've got the capacity, it should automatically run that locally, and I should just run it in a distributed model. But then I move to an iPad in the afternoon because maybe I'm home, and I want it to automatically understand that, and the system shift to launching that from a remote solution rather than me have to understand and adjust my working experience based upon the device I'm on. The system should be intelligent to do that.
Yeah, it would be incredibly cool if we can get to a world of context-aware computing where actually everything knows what's going on. That's a way away, I guess. It's a lot of hooks that need to be put into place.
It's actually more close than you would maybe suspect. If you take a look at how we've architected, let's just take a look, talk about how Intune integrates with this and what's going to happen there. You know, Intune gives you the ability to be able to associate policies to users, mm-hmm. and then you can have in the applications themselves restrictions and policies that talk about devices. So it's that marriage where you basically can say, you know, Brad has access to these five applications, but then the applications don't appear on the device if the device doesn't support it. And so we've actually got a lot of the plumbing or the underlying architecture that's already wired up.
Yeah, when you think about some of the investments there, conditional access probably, mm-hmm. they really start to become incredibly interesting around that. And that kind of brings me to the next and our last question, really, which is, we've obviously... very committed to the products that we create and produce. I presume that we're as committed to Azure Remote App as we are to anything else, because we've got we're building out with microservices. It means that we can do continuous updates. Are we going to see the same kind of thing happening with Remote App that we see with other parts of our enterprise mobility suite? Continuous release going forward.
Yeah, and just like with Intune, we're on this monthly release cadence. You know, what we're actually doing underneath everything on all these services is we're updating them all the time. Mm-hmm. But you know, customers really struggle with how you keep up to date with these continual updates. And so what we do is on a monthly basis, we aggregate it all, and then we blog on it, and we talk about, hey, here are the new things that we've done in the last month. But the reality is we're updating the services, you know, continually. The other thing that we've been working on with both Azure Remote App and all the EMS services is the ability to flight. And so what that allows us to do is it allows us to go out and say, hey, there's a new set of capabilities. We're going to go deliver this out to like 0.5% of the base to begin with. Mm-hmm. And then we get some of that feedback coming in. We adjust, we correct, and then we can roll out to everybody. I'll tell you, one of the most interesting things that we see on that is our ability to be able to move quickly is really dramatically enhanced as we're able to flight. Because you know, customers are able to tell us things that they're in need of, and then we can say, listen, we're working on that right now. Would you like to be, you know, one of the early flighters of this? And they say, absolutely. We get it out there, they use it, the telemetry comes back, we can see exactly how it's working, what the challenges are, we can adjust, and then we just light it up for everybody. And so that microservices architecture is core to every piece of strategy in the company, really, in terms of our services.
Yeah, it's interesting. When you do look at this cross-company, you do start to see these trends landing everywhere, and it's all building up the knowledge as a company as to how to execute on this stuff very, very well.
And it's been, I'll tell you, it's been a shift in the engineering teams. I think that Microsoft really, if you think about what our history is the last 30 years, I think we really perfected the art and the science of building products that could be released and used in hundreds of thousands of data centers around the globe, and doing that in a way that was efficient and predictable. And much of that skill set is applicable in this new services world, but a lot of it's new muscle that you have to develop. Mm-hmm. And so we've been lucky that we've had these services that we've been operating for years at the company, like Bing, like Hotmail, you know, like Windows Update, you know, that I ran for many, many years. And so there's been that core set of individuals and leaders who have got this incredible services experience that we've then been able to sprinkle across all the engineering teams and take what we've known and what we've done for the last 30 years, enhance that now and strengthen that with these individuals who have built these incredible services. And I think that's one of the reasons that we've been able to make this transition to this cloud model where others are struggling to do it, because we've been building cloud services for years and years as well.
Yeah, it really is part of our DNA, mm-hmm. really now. It's become that core and that important to us. Brad, thanks very much for joining me for this section. It's always good to get like a view over everything that's happening out there and what the industry is actually doing and what we're thinking about the way that we build these services. I think it's great for you guys to see this kind of thing because it helps you to understand more than just the technical detail, but to be able to go back into your organization and actually say, hey, look, Microsoft's committed to this kind of approach. This is the way that we're going to be doing these things going forward. So perhaps we ought to start introducing this technology into our organization. And through the course of the next couple of hours, we're going to help you to do exactly that by building up the core skills that you really need to be able to go and deploy Azure Remote App inside of your organization. And as I said in the brief introduction, we're going to go through everything from a technical overview of the product. We're going to go through the ability to go and create your own deployments, create your own images, be able to configure your applications, publish them, really take you from a soup to nuts approach over the course of the next few hours. But before we do, it's time for you guys to have a quick break and we can move things around here, change a couple of the PCs around so that we can move in and be able to get as demo heavy as we possibly can for the course of the next few hours. So thank you very much and come back in about 10 minutes.